Good afternoon. How's everybody doing today? To be honest with you, I'm a lot of people in here considering the topic. So I just want to make sure that I got everybody in the right room, because I was expecting kind of two, right? So just a real second high cap, just to make sure we're all in the same room. We're going to talk about having two farms, having services in one farm be consumed by an entirely different farm. Is everybody on track with that? All right. Well, welcome to federated or cross-farm services. The term, you can flip back and forth either way. Sometimes to me, federated gets a little confusing in the whole mix of things when you have federated search and all of these other terms. So cross-farm to me kind of sums it up a little bit better. Oh, I gotta go put my cursor in the right spot, I guess. My name is Shannon Bray. I'm a Microsoft Certified Solutions Master, which is pretty much the equivalent to the MCM SharePoint 2010. I'm also a Microsoft Certified Trainer, MCSD, MCSE, pretty much the list goes on. I jumped on the certification train and never really jumped off. I'm a chief architect for Planet Technologies. They're based out of Maryland, and my primary goal at work is I just do SharePoint 100% of the time, 7 days a week, 23 hours a day. I've also wrote this award-winning book up here. I gave it an award, so that's where it comes from. And then I'm also currently working on one with Microsoft Press on architecting 2013 solutions. So in this session, we're going to talk about the basics of service applications. The nice thing about service applications is they haven't changed much since SharePoint 2010. Right? When 2007 came out, this was a major facelift. Right? People had to redesign how their farms work. They had no idea how service applications work. So the good news is all the information that you knew about 2010 is going to apply for the most part in 2013. Is there anybody still in 2007? Wow. Okay, so we'll talk about that transition again, too. I wasn't sure if it was going to be a relevant topic, but it obviously is. So then we're going to talk about the terms and the concepts, because I want to make sure, especially for my 2007 folks, how everything works, where it works, why it works, and then we can start talking about the concepts of federation. And as I mentioned at the very beginning, federating services is just consuming them from another farm. Now, in 2007, it seemed more like an edge case. Not too many people were doing it. And there's not any, you know, strict guidance on there on when and why to do it. But has anybody been playing with the RTM bits or the beta release of 2013? Right, some of those services consume quite a bit, right? Have you seen what search did before the RTM release? I had the dynamic memory on my laptop just to kind of see what would happen. And that little 4 gig machine, I went to sleep, woke up, and it was like 12. I was like, wow, what's going on here, right? That was just the node runner kind of going off, taking care of some work. And if for RTM, it's been fixed, I guess, right? It's been throttled back a bit. But you know, when search consumes so much resources, it might make sense to have an enterprise search farm going across. So we're going to talk about all of those services. Now, the great thing about this particular presentation, right, because I'm going to have to tell you how great it is that everything that we're going to do is all scripts that you can just, you know, shoot me an email. They should be downloadable from the site, but if not, just let me know and I'll give you all the scripts that do this. We're going to take a complicated project or something that's really complicated, and we're going to put it in a dummy's book. Right, pretty much you're going to say, wow, that was, I can't believe I went to that session, it was so easy. I could have figured that out on my own, right? The nice thing about it is this is a pretty well-documented process now. I have an article on TechNet that went up for 2010. Most of that still applies. But in the early days of 2010, nobody really knew how to do this. And when I was going through the MCM program, this was one of the concepts that we really had to understand. In fact, all of the scripts that are written here were written during the R6 rotation. Me and a couple of my teammates in that rotation were throwing out scripts, trying to get things to work, and I found out that we're lazy by nature, most of us are, at least those of us that was in that room that day. So there's going to be a lot of stuff of copying files from one server to another that are all going to happen through scripts because I dumb it down. And the reason why I dumb it down is so that I don't screw things up, right? Because if you give me just a little bit of room, I'm going to mess something up. So hopefully we're going to be able to do that. Now, because things can get messed up, it's going to be important to troubleshoot and test our configurations as well. So I am going to make a mistake along the way. That way we can see what happens. That way we understand what we need to do to get it to work. And then we'll also talk about cross-version support from 2013 to 2010 as well. All right, so our service application architecture. The core architecture is the same as it was in 2010. That's good news to me, right, because I've invested a lot of time learning 2010, went the MCM program. I didn't want the new program to come out and remove everything I had learned before. So I was extremely excited to find out that the core architecture remained the same. In fact, most of the services, just in general, if you know how to script them before, those scripts will still work. In fact, pretty much all the way across the board, all your PowerShell scripts are going to work. They might need a little tweaking depending on what's going on. Now, with that being said, search has been completely revamped, right? So those scripts won't work, but we have part of the demo, we have the search scripts, so if you haven't been able to write them or find them, you'll be able to get them here. All the other services, machine translation is new, right? So we'll talk about that one in a little bit. But user profile, BCS, secure store, managed metadata, all those scripts are going to work exactly the way they did in 2010. The nice thing is our services can be consumed a la carte, right? Which in for my 2007 friends, right, we had the shared, what was it, the SSP, right? It's been so long, I'm starting to forget what that thing was called. But when we had search, we had BDC, we had Excel services, and you consume that, there was no way to manage that out or to farm out those permissions or to split services up or put the load on different servers. And now in 2010 and 2013, right, we're now able to run our services completely redundant, and we're going to talk about those services, where those get turned on, and things like that. But we can get very granular in how our systems are going to operate. The service application is extensible. In 2007, it wasn't the case, right? You could write your own components to the SSP, but it was probably not worth the time, it wasn't very scalable, and it was very difficult. In 2010, if you wanted to write your own service application, you can, and in some cases, it might even be advisable. It's going to really kind of depend on the particular concept you're doing, but if something's going all the way across the farm, it might make a good service application. Services are supported in SharePoint Foundation. Now, there aren't any that comes with it, but you're more than welcome to go through and to use them. I think, you know, BCS and all of those actually work in that product. And in 2007, right, you had to have the enterprise version to consume of some of those. So with the ability of Foundation to consume a lot of these services, it really added a nice flavor to it. Services can be scaled out, and it's going to be extremely important, especially when we talk about high availability. And you know, multiple servers inside the farm, being able to run wherever you want is absolutely critical. And we're going to talk about where those run just in the basic concepts as we're building out the farm. So they can be resilient and redundant. And then most important, at least for the sake of this conversation, right, they can also be federated. So here's our terms that we all need to kind of have as we move forward through our afternoon today. So we have the service, right? The service is basically just the binaries that are on the computer. They're going to exist pretty much when you install SharePoint on those particular machines. Then we have the service machine instance, which is the actual running of that particular service. I'll show you where some of these are in case you haven't seen those yet. The service application itself, it's not really something called the service application. It's more of an abstract term. It's a collection of different items, like the service machine instance, and they may have a database to go along with them or some sort of configuration files. And all of that's by communications is tied to one of the automated services that we're going to talk about here in a moment. The service application proxy is how we actually communicate with that particular service application. And that's going to be important to understand as we're building out our federated farms, because what's going to happen is we're going to put a proxy on our consumer farm that's going to point to the publishing farm, and that's how that communication is going to be configured. In order to have federated services, right, we're going to have a publisher and we're going to have a consumer. So the service consumer is just anybody who's consuming that particular service. In fact, if you only have one farm, then it's the publisher and the consumer. You're just not actually hitting the publish button. Service proxy groups, right? This is just a way that we're able to associate our service applications with a particular group, and then we can assign that group to a particular web application or applications and get as granular as we want. Deploying service applications, we can do this in a number of ways. I'll demo everything using PowerShell, but with some of the services, we're able to use the new services button through Central Admin that we'll take a look at in a moment, and then for the rare, very rare circumstances, right, we might use the Farm Configuration Wizard to create some of those services. Now, with that, that's not necessarily recommended that you ever really do that. Primarily, and you might hear a lot of negative aspects to it, but really the problem with running the Farm Configuration Wizard to create your services is it doesn't know all of the information that it needs to know to configure things correctly, so it has to take some guesses. And the SP Farm account gets overused in a lot of situations and things like that. So that's typically why that's bad. And, you know, it also puts GUIDs in all the database names, and that's not so pretty to look at. And then automatic services. I'm going to show, there's two of them, that as soon as we build our farm or farms, right, we have two services that are created for us automatically, and they're absolutely vital to how federated services works. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at these concepts here. Let me bounce over to my trusty machine here. So here is my 2013 farm. Our service applications, come click this link here, we're going to see our two automatic services. We have our application discovery and load balancer service application. That's kind of a mouthful. We're just going to call that the topology service for the rest of the day. And then we also have our security token service application. So this first one, that topology service, is kind of the magic sauce into how all of our services work, whether they're federated or not. So just to kind of tell you how important that guy is, what happens is when we create services, they get registered with this guy, right? And then we may have four, five, six machines that need to use services, but they don't necessarily know where these services are located. So they go and talk to this guy, and this guy says, hey, I have that service over here on Contoso 1. It's also running on Contoso 2, 3, and 4. Now, the nice thing, we're going to see that the name says load balancer in it, so we're going to assume that it does a little load balancing. Well, we're going to assume that it's going to start distributing calls through round robin, right? It's not actually doing anything based off of load. But if a request goes to Contoso 1, the next one goes to Contoso 2, Contoso 3, and it just will continue going that way until it loops around. The other one, the STS service, right, whether or not you know it or whether or not you've configured your farm to use claims, all of the service applications are using claims regardless of how you got things set up. In 2010, we had the option, you know, through the UI to pick whether things were classic and claims, and none of that really mattered as far as this was concerned. Everything is claims. Now, just to kind of show some of the features here, right, we have the new button. We're able to create many of our service applications through the UI, and oftentimes there's not really any negative aspects to those outside. You don't necessarily get to name your databases, and I'm pretty much a database guy. I like everything to look nice and pretty. Now, not all services can be done this way. Some of them, like the state service, has to actually be done either through PowerShell or it has to be done through the farm configuration wizard, but we don't need to mess with that farm configuration guy. So as we create our services, one of the concepts that we need to keep in mind is the actual service that's going to be running. Now, when we take a look at the application management, apparently my machine decided to slow down today. So we'll give that a second to come through. We have manage services on server, right? And when we come here, we have the ability to pick the server that we want to interact with, and then we can go through and start these particular service machine instances, right? So the service is the binaries, and when we start here, that's the actual machine instance. And we can go through and we can start these instances on any of the machines in our farm. Just not it doesn't just have to be our service applications. It could be our web apps and stuff too. In fact, some of the services that I typically set up are on the web apps, and maybe I'll just put search and user profiles on some of those service application machines. Once we go through, we can start the ones that we want. Typically, these get started also in a PowerShell script. If you forget to turn it on, and then you may have to get some hiccups, restart, delete them, or whatnot. Okay. That's kind of our general tour. Not where I wanted to go there. All right, so here's our concepts of federation. Now, this holds true from 2010 and 2013. So we have a number of services that can be federated. Here's a pretty good list of them up here. You have user profile, managed metadata, search, BCS, secure store, and machine translations not on there. But basically what happens is we have a farm that has these services and they get published. The publishing part is kind of what we're going to talk about here in the demo on exactly how that gets set up. Now, once they get published, there's a relationship that gets built between one farm versus the other. That's really kind of the point of the demo that we're going to do. Now, we're able to use these services in many different environments, including WANs, right? But just because we can doesn't mean we necessarily should in all cases. The ones that are recommended or work better, right, in WAN environments is going to be enterprise search, but you're going to kind of take a hit on the crawling. Right, because it's actually crawling across the WAN. BCS works across the WAN as well, but you're going to take a hit the first time you're hitting that particular data source. Secure store, you're going to take a hit there as it's caching that particular credential. User profile service, it'll work, right? But because of the user profile replication engine, not necessarily recommended. So I would avoid that at pretty much all cost. And then and managed metadata works very well in a WAN environment. So the concepts of federation, and this is also going to be important for when we're troubleshooting our issue, right, is that we have the particular services that support them. We've listed them. But two of the services, Secure Store and BCS, require domain trust if you're going across domains. Now, in my particular environment, right, these two farms are going to be in the same domain, but had I wanted to venture out, in order to get those two services to work, it would be a domain trust. There's also going to be a farm-level trust, and one of the scripts that we're going to run is actually going to take the identifier from one farm, copy it over to text file, and then consume it, right? Because normally you would have to like cut and paste, and that's just a terrible, terrible way to live, so it'll take care of that for ourselves. And then the most important thing is the service application permissions. This is really where we're going to troubleshoot, because it's going to tell us that things aren't configured just right, and typically when you get that, it's going to be a permission issue. And then domain level trust, as I mentioned before, is required for two of the services if you're outside a domain. Now here, we're going to go ahead and start building our farm. Now, this particular environment, I've already pre-built the two farms, but they're pretty much just at the binary levels. There's, as you saw, there's only the two service applications that we're going to use there. So let me start. Whoop, that's my consumer farm. I'm going to start the script just because it takes a few minutes to run, and then we'll kind of talk about some of the aspects of it. Ah. Thank you. Whoop. That went a little faster than I expected. So I... we'll go run the other one first. Now, this particular script that I'm running here is really no big deal and doesn't really apply much to the concept of federation. But I am doing a secure store. Wait. I'm adding the usage and health and the state service, just because in every farm I build, these are one of the first scripts that I end up running. And conceptually, this is also where I add a particular web application pool for my services. It's called the SharePoint Web Services Default in all of my scripts. And you're going to find that in my demos, and most of the time in real life, I'm going to use one account for many of my services. Now, you might read some stuff out there that says, that recommends that you should use a different service account for every single service that you have out there. But that's going to introduce a couple of issues. Does anybody know what that issue is? App pools, right? If you got a different account for every single one, you're now going to have possibly 15 app pools, and then you're going to maybe build two or three web apps, right? So now you're 18 to 20 app pools. Do you know how many are supported by Microsoft on a web front end? 10, right? So there's a big issue there. We got some smart people in here. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and create our enterprise search or our enterprise services. The ones we're building here is managed metadata, secure store, machine translation, search. I didn't do user profiles just because my scripts are bounce around a little bit, because you have a script that starts a script that has permissions to do that. Stole it from Spence. It works really well. So I don't go and recreate anything there. So we're going to go ahead and let this run. And it can take as long as it wants, because primarily what we're going to do now is we'll end up focusing on the managed metadata service, which is going to be one of the first ones that gets created. But as you can see, we're cooking with gas pretty much at this point. All right, so our steps that we're going to follow and kind of use as our guideline is we are going to create a publishing certificate. So this is going to be done on the actual publishing farm. We'll end up using a PowerShell command that pretty much just creates one. It'll create it basically on the C drive in a search folder. And the location is going to be important because when I go and create the consumer certificates, it too is going to put them on a C drive in a particular folder. And then I got my magic script, right, that goes off and goes, whoop, grabs them so I don't have to fiddle around. And if you use that, then you don't necessarily have to remember which farm has to have what certificates and which ones you have to upload. But just so that we're making sure that we're putting out the information, your publishing farm has a certificate, and then your consuming farm has your STS and your root certificate, and then those have to be swapped. So that would be our exchanging the certificates. Then we go through and we import them. We could do all of this through the UI, but to me, the more you mess with the UI, the more we're going to introduce errors. Now, we could also, by the way, do this entire process with just one massive PowerShell script. But that's kind of not a good demo, right? You'd be like, oh, well, you just sit there and hit a button. So we're going to break it down in some concepts there. Then we're going to configure the trust farm with the consumer farm ID. We're going to publish the services, and then we're going to consume the services. Right. Hoping my voice stays with me for the rest of the, just a little while longer. So we have the services. What we're going to do now, oh, this is still running. Let's see where I'm at in the process. Looks like it is wrapping up search, so it should be done in a minute. So while we're waiting on that, let's just kind of talk about our particular scripts here. So here's nothing too fantastic. We're just basically going to create a root certificate at this particular location on the C drive. Once that's done, I'm going to bounce over to the consumer farm, run the same kind of script there, and then I'll come back over here and run this script that will copy them across the pipe. We will then use the farm ID that's going to be pulled from the consumer farm. It's going to be magically brought over, and then this script is going to run it, and then we'll basically be done. So conceptually, it's all going to be rather easy as soon as it finishes to run. Is there any questions so far while we're waiting for PowerShell to catch up? Excellent. Sure.
I was particularly interested in the profile.
The user profile? Yet that doesn't work across the WAN. That's because of the user profile replication engine. It's very, very latent. So, yeah, he was talking about the user profile services over in a WAN environment. And it's while it will work, it's not recommended. Just because of the amount of latency that's involved in there.
So, what's a good alternative?
it's a good question. He wants to know what a good alternative to using user profiles in a WAN environment. I will find out for you, because typically the people do use the replication engine, and it's not without its challenges. Right? Pretty much everything with user profiles has magic kung fu that you must know in order to be successful. Yes? Yeah, I mean, if you brought the accounts over locally, that is an option. But if we're starting to talk about, you know, some of the cloud environments and things like that, that may not be optimal. Although with some of the configurations, you kind of have to do that as well. It was more of a statement. Bringing the user profiles. Taking care of it all locally as opposed to going over the WAN. All right. Looks like this guy just finished. We are now going to create, and that's the longest running of all of our scripts. So now when we bounce over to our C drive here, we're going to see that we have a certs folder that has our enterprise services root certificate. I'm going to bounce over to the consumer farm. Scripts here, much easier. Actually, let me make sure that. So this is going to create the STS and the root certificate. Put them on the C drive for me. And it's also going to take the farm ID for me. So if I come take a look at the C drive here, certs, so we'll see our two certs, and then here's the identification GUID of this particular farm, which this is going to go to the publishing farm. That's where we're going to establish our trust. It's really easy to forget to do this step if it doesn't automatically get included. All right, so now we're going to bounce back over to our enterprise farm. This little guy just copies the scripts from one, brings them to the other, just to make sure things aren't going to blow up on me. I'll just go visually check everything is exactly where I want it to be. And now we're going to import the consumer certificates that we just brought over into publishing, or into our publishing farm. We're going to bounce over to our consumer farm, and we're going to do the same thing there. All right, so this is going to kind of wrap up our PowerShell areas of it, and we're going to get into the UI and start talking about some of the concepts. As I said before, you can, by the way, do this entire process using PowerShell if you like, and I do have those scripts available too. All right, so now what I want to do is come over to our publishing farm, and we're going to take manage metadata, and I'm going to publish it. Now, to publish it, we have our little publishing button up here, so a lot of people have probably seen that, not really sure what it was going to do. Doesn't work for everyone, but it's there for everyone, right? It shows up. So we have two different connection types. All of our services allow for two, except for Secure Store. It only has HTTPS. The important thing to know about that, our service applications run over 32843, 32844, and then 32845, depending on what those particular roles are. HTTP is the 32843. HTTPS is the 823.45 or 44. So I'm going to go ahead and pick HTTPS. I recommend that you just always do that. It doesn't necessarily change anything. To me, I just figured they should default it all to HTTPS. You hit the checkbox, and then you hit okay. There's this guy here, though, right, this URN, that's going to be important. Now, we're going to talk about him in a couple different ways. But the first thing I'm going to go do is go put him over on the consumer form real quick. Let me do a word wrap on him. Now, one of the things that's important to know about this particular syntax up here, if I go to the consumer form, I can paste this entire URL in there, or URN, really, and it's going to give me the identity of that managed metadata service and allows me to pick one service, and only that service. Typically, what I do is, if I'm doing a few services at the same time, I'm going to just use the HTTPS portion on the backside, and that's going to show me all of the services that I can consume from. The cool stuff kind of ends there. You can't select more than one, but I don't really think they expected people to use it this way. I'll show you how both of them work. So now when we come into our managed service applications, we're going to hit the connect button. And here's where we type in that URN. So if I put the entire thing here and I hit click OK, we're going to see that we have the enterprise managed metadata service, and we just have one. Well, let me go publish search and stuff real quick too, so we can kind of see the difference. Or BCS, it's a good one to publish. So same thing applies here, right? We'll do the HTTPS. This time the checkbox is checked for us. Bounce back over to our other form, our consumer form. So when I do the connect, right, and I use the entire URN, I'm going to see just the managed metadata. Now if I come in and hit connect, and I only use the HTTPS portion, click OK, now we get to see all of the services that have been published. It would be nice, right, if you could select all of them and then click OK. Doesn't work that way. So I'm going to highlight the managed metadata service. We're going to click OK, and then it's going to give me an option to kind of name our proxy. And remember back at the beginning, right, we had our service application and our service application proxy. Our proxy gets created on the consumer, and this is going to contain all the information that is necessary for this service to go talk to the topology service in the other farm. All right, so we've successfully connected. We're going to see it here. We're going to click it. It's going to blow up. Right, so when we see this, we're like, oh, man, I forgot something. And we can kind of go through our checklist. But pretty much every time we see this, we're going to know it's a permission issue of some sort. Now, there's a couple ways to take care of the permissions. We bounce over to the other farm. We go to our managed metadata. And we have our permissions up here. So here is where we've got a couple things that we can do. We can use that farm ID that we brought over and that we've used to establish trust. We can just go ahead and trust the entire farm. If you're doing cross farms in different domains. That way works fairly well. Or you can also just use the farm account. Here I like using the ID itself, but I'll go ahead and use both just to kind of show you what they look like. So if I come in, snag this guy, click add. Now, for the managed metadata service, I'm able to come in, give the appropriate permissions that I want, and then click OK. Yes. The scripts that I wrote that started moving things across the pipe, went and got it and just put it over there, so it made it real easy to do. You know, when we were inside our MCM rotation, we were like, oh man, I got to go all the way. It's not really all that way, right? It's all virtual. But, forgetting where it is and having to go write to PowerShell, grab it, bring it over, so it makes it easier this way. So if you use these scripts, it'll just always be right there. All right. So now what we're going to go do is, let's come back, click properties on this guy. And now we're going to see that we have the interface coming from the other farm. And managed metadata, to me, that's the one that I use to test. Right? If this comes up, everything else is right in the farm. The trust is set up, everything else. So then you can come over here and use, set whatever settings you'd like. Let me go remove those permissions real quick. Go back to the other farm. I want to show you that it's broken. So then we can come into the permissions and then also use the farm account to establish those trusts. So either way works, depending on how your accounts and stuff set up. When you trust the entire farm, you might be distributing a little bit too much trust. So if we're in the least privileges, you may want to use that. Yes? Yes. It won't resolve, right, because the protocols for ADFS don't actually do direct researching and stuff. But yes, once it's configured, you can put ADFS there and that'll work. Yeah, but you may also have to put the claims identifier in front of it as well. So, in fact, if anybody's curious on those claims identifiers, you see all that squiggly text and stuff in the front. If you ever kind of wondered what that means, each character represents something. Victor Whalen has an excellent blog post specifying what each of those characters means. So it's definitely worth the good read. All right, let's bounce back over to our deck. Troubleshooting. A lot of things can happen pretty much as we kind of saw with the permissions. Some of the things that we're going to want to kind of keep in mind. So here's our consumer farm. Depending on what our services and stuff are, we may. Oh, that's good because I was bouncing around aimlessly anyway. So when we're back into our enterprise farm, we may also want to be setting up permissions. So if we go to, search, may want to set up our the users from the other farm that are going to have access. Now, it's also important to know that we're dealing with search in a federated environment. Like when we go and provision the search service, by default and automatically, right, it'll go put the search account into the user policy of the web application. Right, but when we're doing federated services, it doesn't do that, right, because now it's crossing an entirely other farm. So one of the things that you're going to want to do killed on my mouse is here. Come into application management, manage web applications, highlight your web app, user policies, and then you're going to want to add the SP search account or whatever you call yours to this particular zone. If not, you're just going to start getting content reading errors. So make sure it has full read. You know, normally you don't have to worry about this because it automatically gets done. Other than that, that's pretty much the gist of the federated services as far as configuring them, testing them. As long as you get your permissions right, everything else is going to kind of just work out on its own. So, cross-version support. One of the advantages of 2013's architecture being the same is they support having a 2013 federated environment supporting a bunch of 2010 farms. Now, in the case of if we're all using 2010 right now, you're going to want to upgrade your services farm to 2013 first. It's not supported the other way around, right? The 2013 farms cannot be supported by a 2010 federated publisher. Only federated services support that are BCS, Managed Metadata, Secure Store, Profile, and Search. So there's only one missing. Does anybody know why it's not supported? It didn't exist. So basically, all of your federated services are supported. They allow for parallel services and farms, so your 2010 service farms can be used while you're verifying your upgrades. So this is going to kind of help move things along. And then the 2010 non-federated services remain used by 2010 farms only. So as I said before, with the 2013, those aren't supported. So the concept of federation is the same as it is 2010. If you have a pretty good plan on how to do everything and you have the appropriate scripts, you can see it's not rocket science, right? The hard part is just knowing which scripts to run in what order. Other than that, that pretty much wraps up federated services. Anybody have any questions? Yes, sir. That's a great point. All of these services, taking into account federated along with multi-tenant environments, all the services support multi-tenant. Now, with that, you know, really all that multi-tenant is having the ID with it in search. So you don't necessarily have to have any, there's no additional considerations outside just getting the multi-tenants to work. No, you would still have the subscription service, right? Because it'll use the ACLs of that local farm. So it'll work basically, it works exactly the same way. Yes, sir. Yes.
So if I'm consuming a 2013 search from a 2010 farm, within my 2010, when I set up search, do I set it up as SharePoint Enterprise Search or FastSearch?
Will you set it up as, because your 2013 environment is your search environment and there's Fast no longer exists, right? It's all one offering. So you'll set up SharePoint search to crawl your 2010 environment, and so it'll just work that way. You can, no, it won't see the 2010. The 2010. Let me make sure I understand your question. But the 2010 farm will only use the 2013 services. You can't go the other way around.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Fast and Enterprise.
Yeah, so from 2010 farm,
oh, well, it looks completely different, actually. It because they rewrote it from basically the ground up. So you have the form previews and stuff when you hover over the links. But the whole interface is changed quite a bit. No, you can use any search center you want. You can use the 2010 search center. It'll use the 2013 service application. Oh, the enterprise search. Sorry, I guess I went the wrong way on that one.
This mic seems to work here. So, do you know, does user profile still require a direct database connection?
I believe it does, because I don't believe they've gone back and fixed that. But that would be a great Spence question. I don't know the answer to that.
It does
do a direct connection.
Okay. How about with the new licensing model? Do we execute those licensing commands on both farms or just consuming farm?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to on that one.
Okay, thank you.
Well, it uses, and the question is, are you forced to use claims-based authentication in 2010 to consume those services? It does it automatically. You don't pick at all. Because it uses the STS certificates for that. What you pick in your web applications doesn't really have anything to do with that. So you can still use classic web apps and then consume those services with claims without doing anything. You don't necessarily migrate. You just kind of set the new ones up because you can't do an in place, right? Everything, you just move over. Some of the ones you can bring the databases over. Search, because it's been completely redone, you just kind of rebuild that, and the rest of them, unless it might be Secure Store. That would be a great one. Yeah, you can just bring that one over and upgrade that database. Oh, okay. Yes, sir. Yep. Great question. So the question is, if you're migrating from 2010 to 2013, what do you have to do as far as the progression? And basically, all we need to do is get that farm ID from the new farm, and we're basically running the consumer scripts that we had. Rerun those, and then also make sure that farm ID gets put on the publisher. So, and I'll actually make I'll make an adjustment to my scripts with comments that support that scenario. Yes, sir. Yeah, you could, because they're geographically dispersed. It's going to be a fairly slow process. Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be, right? Because you're really then going, that's kind of that WAN environment. It'll work, but the crawling of it, you'll take a hit on crawling that content. Okay. Yes, sir. I'm not aware of any backwards compatibility issues from the 2010 to the 2013. I'll have to ask on that one. And see. Yes, sir. For patching them, are we talking about CUs or service packs? I would put the service packs on the federated. On the publisher first, because that's really the only one that matters in this particular case, because they could even be different versions, right? So as long as you keep both of those up, there's really no concerns there. Are there any what? You can, but they don't necessarily have to be. Because remember, if 2013 will support a 2010 farm, you can't really get much different than that. Yes. Yes. I have. If you want to download the scripts like today, shoot me an email and I can email them to you. If not, I'm going to make sure that they get published with the deck, so that you can download them there as well. Yeah, I'll throw out some cards here in a second. What's that? Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. It's on a different screen. I'm just going to drag it over. And there's my Twitter handle as well, in case you have questions or whatever. You can catch me either way. Hybrid as far as going off to the cloud. That's a good question, and I haven't really experimented with a lot of those environments yet since we just went RTM. So let's have a dialogue after, and I'll find out for you. Any other questions? Yes. Oh, thank you. Just in case you didn't hear, no. The PowerShell book is awesome. Thank you very much.